Welcome back to Rambam Yomi. We are now in the second parak of Hilchos Deos, and we're going to see today, actually, that as we go on in the understanding of Hilchos Deos, that some things are going to change from what we saw in the first parak to even to today, and we'll go on to try to understand how we better achieve our Deos. Again, these Deos, these ways of life are going to be character traits that we ideally are going to try to imitate God with, and walk in God's ways with, on Derech Hashem. And we've basically said that in general, all of these have to be done, every single character trait. If you have a sliding scale, you have to try to keep them in the middle. So we pointed out that all of them, including anger and including arrogance, all of those should be somewhere in the middle and not to either extreme. We're going to see today that things change slightly in the second parak of the Rambam, and we'll jump into the first halacha now. Chole haguf ta'amim amar, Matoku matok mar. V'yesh menacholdim. Misha mesave v'sa'ev l'machol sh'enan ru'uyim l'achil g'bon ha'afar v'apecham v'soni ha'machol z'atobim g'gon ha'pas v'abasar kol lefi rovacholdi. The Rambam, speaking as a doctor himself, says that a person who is sick, physically sick, typically likes the wrong things and hates all the right things. Bitter things are sweet to them, sweet things are bitter to them. He uses this as a mashal, essentially, that some of them will like to eat earth and charcoal, and they'll hate eating bread and meat. And he's used as a mashal for understanding how we treat people who are morally ill. Not only that they're physically ill, but there's also a very similar kind of repercussion, similar type of situation when someone is morally ill. Kach b'nei adam nafsho sehem cholos, mis'am v'ad v'adeos ha'ra'os, v'somnin ha'derech ha'tov v'metz'at v'malechas ba'a, basically what he's saying is someone that is on the wrong path, that is in one extreme or the other, that is doing the wrong thing essentially, has the wrong character traits, we treat them as a choli, we treat them as someone who is sick, which is an important kind of way of understanding this. They're not necessarily, it's not necessarily an immediate decision right here and right now. Again, it could be nature, it could be nurture. The person is sick. And so how do we respond to someone who's sick? Understanding at a very basic level, he can give us more instruction in a moment, but understanding very basically that these people might totally misunderstand the ways of the world. And it's not necessarily by choice they're sick. And it's the same way a sick person doesn't choose that the taste buds, for example, for sweet things now taste bitter and the opposite, or they're going to want to eat certain foods that are totally disgusting and hate eating normal foods. It's not the decisions to do that. It's kind of a ramification of their sickness. Again, so it may have been the decisions as to how they got to that sickness, but at the point of being sick, it's important to understand that this is the way that they are treating, we are treating them. So that's the Rambam's perspective here. Again, basically a summary, Yeshayahu is essentially talking about this individual who sees bad as good and good as bad, sweet as bitter and bitter as sweet, light as dark and dark as light. If it's so dark to go in these ways, if it's such a bad thing to go in these ways, so how should they fix themselves? And again, Rambam gets into practical, as he ended up the last time, telling us a practical guidance on how to work on finding that middle ground on all these deos, is to be keep on doing them over and over again. So too, he gives us guidance now. What do I do if someone is sick like this? Essentially, go to the doctors, not the physical doctors, that is a treat physical ailments. No, go to the chachamim, go to the wise people of the day. They are going to be able to help you work on your rofei nefashos. They're going to help you work on your refuah for your soul. And what are they going to do? They're going to help you. They're going to teach you how to go back in the derech hatova. What happens if someone recognizes that they're doing the wrong thing, but they don't go find the chachamim to help them, to help heal them? Again, imagine someone that has a major, major illness and doesn't go to a doctor to help heal them. Try to encourage that person to go. And what we would probably would say about that person is that they're foolish. How could you not go to a doctor? They can help heal you. So to hear, it's a chum, the Rafi Osam, Aleihem Amar Shlomo Chachma Musar Avilim Bazu. Okay? Says Shlomo, fools scorn wisdom and correction. In other words, they are foolish for not wanting to go get healed. Ah, how did they get their healing take place? But the case that he erifu asam halacha base. Misha hu bal chema omrim lo lahaning atzmoki she'im chuka v'kulal lo yagish klal v'yelek v'derev zo zman meruba ad she'yis akir ha'chema min libo. Says the Rambam, when someone is angry or wrathful, so we got to push them all the way in the other direction. They're all the way on one side of the scale. We have to push them all the way towards the other direction, and then hopefully they'll find somewhere in between. Again, we're going to point out in a moment that anger is actually not one of the ones that we want to have in moderation. We don't want it in the middle. We're going to see soon that the Rambam actually swings his approach on this. But for our purposes right now, Rambam is basically saying that if someone is wrathful, push them all the way the other direction and tell them not to feel anything. Even if someone is hitting them or even cursing them, tell them they shouldn't feel anything in response to them. That they keep doing this over and over again and become numb, so to speak, to having our gushers, having feelings like this. So then they will get rid of the anger in their hearts. Again, unclear what current psychologists will tell you to do in these situations. Don't necessarily take this as practical guidance. But it's an important idea, essentially, which is if you're on one, if you're on a road and you're again, driving off the road in one direction, you're going to push the wheel over to the other direction to try to get back on the road, even towards the center. Shehu derech hatova. Again, essentially, if someone is proud, has too much pride, the response to this is by making sure that they are no longer feeling proud. And so essentially, he's going to say, sit in low places, wear tattered rags. Again, ultimately, that'll get us back into that derech hamtzayis, the middle ground, to be able to get him back on the road. So derech hamtzayis, yelech ba'al kol yamav. When he gets into that middle ground, go that way the entire lives. Essentially, again, the goal here is not that the person who's wrathful should never feel anything again. No, but by not feeling something for a long time, they'll get rid of the chema that's currently built up inside them. It's not easy to just get rid of it, you know, on the fly. It takes a long time to get rid of it. And so the same thing here as well. The same idea, actually, the Rambam actually points this out in the fifth parak of the Shemona Prakim, where he says it's not so simple to get to someone that has a fever, for example. You can just necessarily throw them in something cold immediately. It's not like a cold turkey that this works so quickly. No, everyone, you gotta work la'ad la'ad. He actually says, la'ad yuva adam asher hurgo blo la'asos ahefek mimenu. It takes a long time. It takes slow dedication and slow, a slow process, but also following that process over and over and over again. Again, as we pointed out at the end of the last parak, repeating something over and over, becoming habituated to something, actually helps us getting through these experiences. A rush doesn't become a chassid immediately. And the same thing as shikra, a person that is a drunk doesn't immediately no longer drink anymore. Again, there are psychologists today that help in all these different ways, but essentially what I was pointing out, you can't just expect the person immediately to go in one direction or the other. It takes time, it takes hard work. Again, if you're in one direction too extreme, go to the other extreme for a while, and then ultimately they'll find themselves in the middle. Again, the goal here is not to ultimately end up on the other extreme, but just to help them get back on the road. Says the Rambam, guess what? There are going to be two categories of these deos that actually, while I may have told you in the last parak that it's okay to be doing them in the middle, midpoint kind of balanced approach, like all the other deos that I'm telling you about, again, all the other deos that are listed in the fourth parak of Shmoneh Prakim, all of those things are true. Except there are two that I wouldn't advise. And what the Seder Mishnah is basically saying is that when the first parak, that was all Midaraisa. Midaraisa, everything should be done in the middle ground, Derech Hashem, Vahachta B'Jachav, all that, even with anger, even with all these things, that's the Midaraisa version. Derabbanan, the rabbis teach us to go a little bit further in these two categories. What are the two categories? Arrogance and anger. We're going to see those in just a moment now as we go through this halacha. But again, this may be the Derabbanan version of the first parak's Deraisa. Just to clarify why it may be that the first parak seems to have an allowance to be somewhere in the middle, and now we are saying something totally different. What does that mean? Again, so in certain deos, you should go to the extreme. V'hu gova leiv, like arrogance, for example. She'ein derech hatova she'yeh adam anav bilvad. It's not good enough to just be an anav a little bit. Just a stam an anav, not good enough. Again, he literally said it was good enough in the first paragraph, but now he's saying no good. Why? Elashi yesh shal ruach b'tzi yerucho nemucha lim'od. You gotta push yourself to not only be humble, but to be lowly on assuming. How do we know this? L'tif ha'nemar Moshe Rabbeinu anav me'od. When it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, it says anav me'od, but lo nemar anav bilvad. It doesn't just say anav. He was very humble. Again, that should be our goal. This is where the tzivuch chachamim, again, the Rabbana nature of this, me'od me'od ha'vesh shal ruach. You should be very, very lowly in your life. The ode on Rusha Kola might be a libo cover the ikar, shenema, yuram lo vavecha, vishachak das Hashem lokecha. Again, someone that is completely arrogant says Chazal, we learn that what? That is, as if you're a cover of ikar, you are as if you're denying Hashem's presence. Ultimately, if I know that the Rosh Hashem is so great, go back to Hilgos, Yisod HaTorah. If I know God is so great, then it should ultimately impact my ability to be arrogant. As we pointed out, if I look at God's nature, I'm initially going to have that Avas Hashem, and then that Yiras Hashem, understanding that I am totally nothing compared to everything else. And again, remember, this everything else includes all of the spheres, and then the angels, right, above them, and then Rosh Hashem above that, but then also underneath the spheres and the angels are, again, angels and then spheres, sorry. Then there are those four parts that everything is made up of. And then there's all of the components of this world. And then all of those components, and we now know, have cells and even protons and neutrons. Right? All these different things are going to help us understand that we are tiny in the cosmos. We are a small nothing compared to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And so if I have such arrogance, it means that I'm clearly not understanding the Rebbeinu Shlomo is in this world. I'm clearly not making room for God in my life, essentially. And so therefore, says Chazal, quotes the Rambam, that means that you are kafir b'ikar. It's as if you are completely a heretic, denying God's presence, essentially, if you are an arrogant person. Okay, and there even is a ban, essentially, for someone who is arrogant, even for a little bit of arrogance, you can ban these individuals. Okay, what's the second of these videos? Kas, anger is totally terrible for a person to have, to the extreme. The arai ladam shizakim mena ana kata acher, go the complete opposite away from anger. Again, last paragraph we saw midarai, so it seems like it's okay to be somewhere in the middle because there are times where anger actually will help us. Answer is no, don't actually get angry. And here's going to be very interesting how the Rambam takes this. Even for things that you're supposed to get angry for, don't get angry for me. If you see something that's done totally, totally wrong, Chassid Shalom, a child is, touching an oven, for example, or is going to run into the street or something. So you have to put on kind of a show, essentially, says the Rambam. Don't actually get angry at the kid, but put on a show that you're angry so the kid recognizes, wait a second, I can't do this anymore. So it's a good teaching mechanism, but you shouldn't actually be angry inside. It's basically putting on a play. So, at a time when the person's angry, it's not actually angry. They should actually portray anger. I actually learned this in high school in Meridayim. Someone ran into our shir, and they were dancing and singing. It was during senior year. And one of my bam yelled, never heard him yell like this in my entire life. And he slammed the door and he turned around and he smiled. And we're all like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't just like immediately, shift focus there. And he smiled and he's like, I'm not actually angry. But you should all know the Rambam says this and he taught us this Rambam. Okay. So it's a good important lesson for each of us in our lives. That if we have to at least give over the impression that we're angry, it should only be an impression. It shouldn't actually get to our hearts. Good. It's an important thing to work on. Again, go to the opposite extreme. Amar Chachamim Rishonim. Again, this is from the Chachamim. Kol HaKoyes Ilo Obed Avodas Chachamim. Again, in this case, someone that is angry is if they're serving idols. Again, this is slightly different than the arrogance, which is that they're denying God. Here, it's as if you are idol worshippers. So we know the part about the Navi already, because we learned it in Hilchos Sedei Torah. But if you are a wise person, you lose your wisdom if you get angry. Same thing with the Navi, you lose your wisdom, you lose your nevuah, you lose your prophecy and your ability to be a prophet if you get angry. And people that live with anger, it's not actually living life. Okay, it's an important lesson for all of us. The best way to walk, again, although we said something different in the last part, the best way to walk, says the Rambam, is that if, even if things are supposed to get us angry, we shouldn't get angry from them. So says the Rambam, the ways of the righteous are to accept humiliation, but not to humiliate other people. And you should listen when one is shamed, but not to answer, and rather to essentially have love and joy in the suffering experience from instead of getting angry or instead of getting humiliating other people, etc. There are ways of basically being a tzaddik in this world, and it means not to respond essentially, not to get angry, etc. The Rambam actually in the fourth paragraph, back to the fourth paragraph, which one of Prakim again goes writes about when it comes to the anger, that it was actually Moshe's anger that ultimately led him to no longer to have that sin essentially of hitting the rock as opposed to speaking to it. It's for the Rambam, that was a terrible example, and that ultimately is why he got punished in that way. Again, other people understand that differently, but according to the Rambam there, that's really where it all stems from. The Olam Yarbe Adam Bishtika V'loidaber Ela B'dvar Chachma O'B'dvarim Tzarech Lehem Chaya Gufo. Says the Rambam, now that I'm talking to you all these things, the other ways of basically of living life, That should not necessarily even be done in moderation, but try to go in some sort of an extreme. Same thing should go with talking. We shouldn't be too talkative. Better to be quiet than talking. Amru al Rav Talmid Rabbeinu Hakadosh Shelo Sach Sicha B'Teila Kol Yomav. We talk about Rav, Rav Yehuda Hanasi. Again, the Rambam himself actually speaks about him extensively in the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, which we didn't do in these series. Maybe we'll go back to it at some point. The Rama basically says that if it was Rosetta, it was basically the same way when Rav wrote down all of the Mishnah because people were forgetting and they couldn't do it. That's why he called his Mishnah Torah. Why Mishnah Torah? Because again, he found himself in a time and generation where people were forgetting, people were not learning the Torah, and the Torah was going to get lost. Just as Rav wrote down Torah Shabbat Pet in that way, so too he wrote down basically in the next iteration of that, and actually writes that the same way God wrote his Mishnah in short wording, and it was done in a way that was concise and to the point. So too he was going to try to keep all of his halachos, as we have seen, concise and to the point. So many people point out that the Rambam sees himself as kind of a second iteration of Rav. So it's important that he's pointing out now that Rav in his entire life didn't say anything that was unnecessary. No sicha b'teila, no needless conversation in his life. V'zohi sichas rov kol ha'adam. But you should just know most people actually do. Most of what people say are really sicha b'teila. Afilu b'tzarcha ha'guf lo yar ba'adam z'varim v'al z'atzivach kol ha'amru kol ha'amar b'dvarim mei. Even for things that you need, you shouldn't be talking too much. Again, you could talk about the things that you need. Again, as the Rambam says, Obidvarim Shetzarech Lehem L'Chaya Gufo, as we said a couple of lines ago, that you could talk in that situation, but it still shouldn't be too much talking. The Chachamim tell us that actually brings along Chet. If you are talking too much, it comes along with Chet. Matzasi LeGuf Tov El Shtika. Okay, the Mishnah in Avos teaches us that the best way to live life is through quietness. When we're teaching Torah, one should keep their words short and the content large. I apologize at this point if that hasn't been the case for these recordings. Teach someone in a short way, and it shouldn't be an extensive type of teaching. That's what Chazal say in Pesachim. Aval im hayu advarim merubim ha'inyan mewat, harei zeh sichlus ועל זה נאמר כי בא חלום ברוב עניין וכל פסיל ברוב דברים. Says the Rambam, when if a person basically is talking for a long time and the content is not there, essentially, that is actually foolishness, as we learn. Pasuk says, the dream comes with a multitude of subjects and the voice of a fool with a multitude of words. Okay, rov devarim, lots to say, not saying much is a problem. Halacha, hey, continue on this. Sag lechof mashtika. That's another Mishnah in Avos, Gimel, Yud Gimel. Siag lechof mashtika, okay, a safeguard for wisdom is actually being quiet. That's why one shouldn't be too quick to respond to things when they're asked, and they shouldn't be so quick to speak. The lamed l'talmidim b'shuva b'nachas v'lo b'taka, taka, when someone asks you a question, you shouldn't yell at them. It shouldn't be too extensive. It should be quick to the point. Okay, as we see from Shlomo. And the Divrei Yirmiyahu points out when he says, says the Divrei Yirmiyahu when he's commenting on this halacha, says, you know, a siag means you should be cautious not to talk too much, but not talk at all. That's not a siag. That's actually the opposite. The Chacham don't want you not to talk at all. You just be careful when you're responding to someone, not to immediately speak, but maybe think about what you're going to say before you speak. But to not open your mouth at all and to always be quiet, that's not a siag. Says the Divrei Yirmiyahu, that's not what Chazal had in mind. Okay, halacha vav. Also, the Adam, the Haning Atma B'divrei Chalakus Ufitui. Now, we're talking about forms of speech. One shouldn't be too smooth tongued or luring in the manner, right? And ultimately, v'lo ye'echa b'peh v'echa b'leiv ela tocha kibaro v'ayinim sh'b'leiv hu hadavar sh'b'peh. And ultimately, you want to be saying what you're believing, what you believe in your heart. Tocha kibaro. We say that that's the best way of being a teacher. Best way of being a student, ultimately, and ultimately, best way of being a person. Gemara says, of the things that the Rosh Shalom hates in Gemara and Psachim, on 113, Daf 113, so Hamadab Echa B'Pad Echa B'Leiv, saying one thing in his mouth and one thing in his heart. We say every day in davening that we want to be Dover MS Bilvavo, right? That we're saying things truthfully in our own heart, and we're ultimately saying them the same way on the outside. We want to be truthful and not deceitful in any way. Kate, so he gives a couple of examples. Lo yimkor l'nachri b'sar nevelim makom b'sar ha-shchuto v'lo minal shel mesa v'makom minal shel shchuto. Don't tell even a non-Jew, he says, right? I'm sorry, go back a line. V'also ligno das ha-vrios v'afilo das ha-nachri. You can't do genevas das, essentially. You can't basically trick someone into thinking one thing when it's not true. Don't lie to a person, basically. What does he mean? Don't sell a person, and even a non-Jew. Let's say, for example, you did shchita in a case where there's an animal that died without shchita, or that was killed with bad shchita, whatever it is. So in those cases, you can't sell it to a Jew. So, let me sell it to a non-Jew. But let me tell him, actually, it's very special. It's a shchuta. It's kosher meat. No. That's also, don't tell him it's kosher meat, tell him it's actually a nevela. It's not good for, you know, it's not good, you know, it's not good for me, and therefore I'm selling it to you. Same thing for a minal, a shoe that was made from a hide. Don't say it's from an animal shchuta, say it's from a mesa, it's from someone that died on its own. Then don't say anything else. You gotta tell the truth. Don't basically push someone to come and join you, to come and eat with you, for example, or to come and dine with you, and he won't accept it. Don't push them to do it if you know they're not going to accept it. Because what are you basically doing at that point? If you invite someone that you know is not going to accept, it's essentially, it's being false. It's being, non-truthful, right? You invite somebody you know can't come to your party just so that they feel like that, you know, you were going to invite them anyway. No, you should invite them if you were going to invite them. If you're not, then that. Another example, let's say you have a guest over and you're going to open up a big vat of wine, but really opening that big vat of wine was intended to basically sell to everybody else. You don't tell them, oh, I'm going to open this whole big vat of wine just for you because you came by. No, really the reason you're doing it is because you need to sell it. So don't pretend like it's one thing when it's not, essentially, says the Rambam. And then he says this is the same with every other example. Even one word like this would be totally wrong. Really, rather, you should be truthful in every single way. And it's very important to do that. Good. And the last halacha here, lo yadam val schok. Now we finished talking about ways of talking, basically. To talk not, shtika is better, quietness is better. And then if you're going to be talking, make sure not to be doing it in the wrong way by trying to trick someone else. Now, another form of action, again, in addition to anger and arrogance, one should also make sure not to be too much laughing, so to speak, or too much of a jokester. Be happy. You don't have to be some, you know, extremes in either direction. One of my rabbis once told me that life, you're going to be going on a roller coaster anyway. Don't ride out the happiest and the highs too high, and don't ride out the lows too low. You want to stay somewhere in the middle, because ultimately it's going to make everything harder. If you were too low beforehand or you were too high beforehand, the drops and the lifts are going to be very, very difficult. So it's better to stay somewhere in the middle. Keep your roller coaster not too exciting, so to speak. Which was great advice, and something that we should all try to keep to. Says the Rambam, that's basically what he wants you to do. Don't be too, happy-go-y. Don't be too laughing and jokester, but also don't be sad and depressed. Be somewhere in the middle. Be happy. Okay? As a side point, the Torah explains, understanding this, the schok, that you shouldn't be too much of a jokester, etc. He says, no, that's also mishum avelus. That's because of avelus. Again, I figured it should tell us that, because we just walked out of the 9 days in Tisha B'Av. It says about the Torah, you know what, aval bezman amikdash mutter, if you were by the Beis Hamikdash, then you'd be allowed to be laughing and jester, etc. It's really because of avelus nowadays that we're no longer in Rondonus, and we're no longer in Gula. We don't have the Beis Hamikdash, so therefore I can't act in these certain ways. Okay, that's one way of understanding. The Rambam doesn't say this. The Rambam, it's not because of avelus. Rather, it sounds more like this is just the way that you should live your life in the ideal form. It brings a person to be doing inappropriate things. Again, you should not go and scold in Kalas Rosh. The same idea here. Don't laugh out of control. Don't be sad and mournful. Be friendly. Be nice to people. And it really has an impact. If you're friendly to people, as opposed to like walking around totally, totally joking or totally, totally upset, be somewhere in the middle. Again, the balance is very important. These are other examples of that balanced approach. It's very important. You know, the same thing, don't be too greedy or lazy. Have a good eye, limiting business, and be able to learn Torah. The osa ha'me'at shechu chelko yismachbo. And the part that you have, the small amount, the very important, the small amount that you have, yismachbo, you should be happy with. Right? We say, you should be happy with what you have. That's to make you a rich person. But the Rambam says it slightly differently. You don't have to have happiness with some people might say, I'll be happy with what I have as long as I have enough. I'm saying, no, you should be happy with the little that you have. Even if you have a little bit, that should already make you happy. Chazal tell us, don't fight, don't be jealous, don't be too desiring taivos, and don't run after honor. Again, all of these should be in the middle. Again, with the exception perhaps of arrogance and anger, all the other ones you should really try to keep in the middle. Make even the turning of your foot and make all your ways firm. Again, how do I make my ways firm? By trying to make sure that I'm walking in the middle path. Starting over from the very beginning, we want to make sure that we are not sick. You know, in sicknesses is a great muscle for understanding sickness of our soul, so to speak. And if we're sick in our soul, we have to go to the Chachamim to help us get through it. How do we do that? If we're one extreme, push the other extreme, or vice versa. There are two examples, arrogance and anger, that I shouldn't be in the middle, but rather I should be actually in the extreme. Everything else should be in the middle. I also should make sure that I'm not talking too much. And I should make sure when it comes to all different areas, and I make sure when I am talking, I'm saying things that are truthful and not deceitful. And then in addition, I should make sure that when I'm acting in a certain way, I should be doing so in with happiness, not with extreme happiness or extreme sadness, and everything else as well. All of the ways that I act in my life should really try to be on this balanced approach. Have a wonderful day. We'll continue with Perek Gimel tomorrow.